In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we turn our attention again back to the Gospel of St. Mark's selected verses. Again, Jesus called to the crowd and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." The gospel. I wouldn't be surprised if you, like me, can't specifically recall the first time you heard someone or situation referred to as a hot mess. But when you heard that phrase the first time, it likely caught your attention and maybe eventually, not too long after that, prompted a chuckle, tickled your funny bone a bit. But as you evaluated what was being described that way, probably didn't take long before you were offering a knowing nod and realizing that was a pretty appropriate description of what exactly was unfolding in front of you. There are so many things that could be described that way. A range, actually. For instance, you come home on a very hot summer day from work and you discover that the garbage man couldn't take all the garbage from the curb because after you left for work, the raccoons got to it first looking for some lunch and it's strewn across the entire front lawn. A hot mess. A young executive on the way to work, despite the fact that she had taken hours to get herself prepared to look just the way she wanted to for that big moment that day, has a flat tire on a very humid, rainy day. And by the time she gets to work, there's only one way to describe both the way she looks and her temperament. A hot mess. The youngster knows that the rules of home say there are certain things you just don't get to do until your homework's done. So a big, fairly significant assignment is just rifled through as quickly as possible to say that it's done so he could get outside and on with his friends. And the next morning, handing it in to the instructor, takes one look at it and has only two words to describe it. A hot mess. None of us, not a single one of us, prefers to have that description used for us. We like the world to see us as cool and collected and under control, no matter what the moment may be pushing at us. In fact, we might even take great care to make sure nothing's being seen on the outside that could be measured with such a description, even if our minds and our hearts are just roiling inside. Nothing to see here, folks. But the reality is, so many days, so many moments, we realize just how close we're standing to the edge of that reality as something's coming our direction we weren't ready for. How quickly and easily we can find our way to that level of unhappiness and out of sorts that could earn us that description. When it happens, the best thing is to just laugh at ourselves a little bit and maybe even say a little prayer of thanksgiving that the Lord has kept us from all of those kinds of moments that we actually deserved. How many times He's actually saved us from ourselves. That was not the approach the Pharisees took at all. If you learn something about the Pharisees from the New Testament, who we're told Jesus is speaking to in this gospel lesson, you discover there isn't any way ever, under any circumstances, that they would ever allow someone to use that kind of a description about them. Oh no. They were buttoned down. They were squared away. They were ready for anything that came their direction, and they wanted to make sure the whole world knew they were under control. And they were in charge. How were they able to do that? Well, they made sure that every other human being around them was aware of all the rules of life that you have to abide by in order to be as good as a Pharisee. They added all kinds of rules. Did you catch how Jesus spoke of it here? First, he calls them hypocrites, which must have made them very unhappy. But the reason Jesus uses that term to describe them is what they have actually done. They've gone well beyond what God's word clearly says, gone well beyond what God's will is laid out in the Old Testament scriptures, and added all kinds of new laws and rules and regulations about everything under the sun, including washing cups and pitchers and kettles. They were the leaders of God's Old Testament people at this moment that Jesus was alive and doing his ministry on earth. They knew the Old Testament's scriptures extremely well. And what they really were telling the world is, what God has said isn't quite good enough. To allow you the freedom to learn this for yourself and let that guide you to decisions you might make, not going to work for us. We've got to make all kinds of new and additional laws and rules and regulations for the way we speak to each other, the way we interact in every way, including all of our daily habits and things that we pursue, such as even mealtime and washing and nobody was willing to challenge them. You know why no one was willing to challenge them? Because they were so good. They were so outwardly good. They were so able to keep their own rules and laws and regulations that you had better be careful challenging them and approaching them negatively, because they would likely turn that moment on you in a way that everyone else in the situation would be pointing you out as the hot mess. Not Jesus, though. Jesus was the exception. He was willing to challenge them because of how wrong they had their whole understanding of religion, especially scripturally crafted, framed religion. They had missed the entire point. They had turned everything into a process in which you obeyed God and built your life around stuff that you did to make God happy with you, to earn your way into forgiveness and life with God forever. Jesus elsewhere will refer to this as binding people and loading them down with burdens that they couldn't bear. And he says, Isaiah was right about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And it begs the question, how well do you know the scriptures? How clearly have you listened to God's own voice from his word speaking to you so you know for sure what is actually from God and what is all that's been added by human beings, layer by layer, to what has been taught through the centuries, that you might be surprised to learn are just traditions of human beings, beliefs, thoughts, ideas that are expecting you to obey them, listen to them, build your life according to them, but it's not actually from God at all. It's just from another failed human being who's just as much a hot mess inside of you. As you start thinking about that. That is a common problem. As Jesus challenged those who were thinking of themselves as better than all the other people around them because of the way they were outwardly able to obey what God had said or what they had prescribed as human beings as the way you have to live, he said, you might be fooling other people, but you're not fooling me. I see what's actually going on inside of your heart. And the way Jesus describes it here, it's a natural mess. It's a natural hot mess. Listen to how he says it. Nothing outside of a man can make him unclean. It's not about the rules that you follow. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. He says everything that comes out of your brain and the desires of your heart are what really identify who you are and what you're all about. And he asks every one of us, just like he asked those Pharisees, to take a measurement of that for a moment. And he goes on. It's from within, out of human hearts that come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make you and me unclean. When you listen to that list, is it your first impulse to say, many of those things I've never done? Did you catch what you added there? You couldn't have said any, right? When Jesus rattles off that list, you can't say, not one of those things has ever been a reality in my mind or my heart. Oh. And then you have to start backtracking from there too and realizing just how honestly Jesus knows us and understands us and would have us understand ourselves. When he offers us a list like that, and we see and compare it to the brokenness of our world and all the many things that are disastrous and destructive in our relationships and the way that human beings deal with each other. And he says, oh, all of these things, every last one of them comes out of human hearts. That's the origin. You ask the big question, why is there evil in the world? And he simply says, because you and I and every other human being in history have added to that evil by what bubbles up from within us in our desires and our approaches and our thoughts and our attitudes. And we want to believe that we're not capable of everything on that list. We want to join the Pharisees by looking around the world and finding someone else that we can point to and say, well, at least I've never done that or I've never been that. Picking something off of this list that isn't a reality of a temptation you might have ever faced. But what about all the other things? And how you and I are tempted to categorize them? Are there things on that list that you would say aren't as bad as sexual immorality or theft? Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't say you're off the hook because something from this list that lurks in your heart that is a reality in the darkness of your life is by your imaginings not as bad as something else. That's not the point. The point is just the opposite. Whenever, every time, we measure ourselves against the world around us and somehow find ourselves to be better, more acceptable to God, more deserving of His forgiveness and eternal life, we've completely misunderstood what God has told us in His Word. And when that happens, we need to hear the law. As difficult as that is, just as bristling as the Pharisees likely were at Jesus using that word hypocrite pointed at them, so none of us wants to hear Jesus speak to us this way, and yet he does, and he does for a very good reason, to strip away all the nonsense of our hearts and realize for ourselves just what a natural mess our hearts are. And there's another reason. He wanted them to listen to him. He wanted to listen to him explain to them what God really meant in the Word so that they would hear the promises of God, of forgiveness, of new life, of life with him forever in heaven, completely separate from anything we do or think or say. Because everything in our minds and our hearts is going to lead us the opposite direction of God's easy answers. Because all of the answers that involve our eternity are gifts from God, leaving nothing for us to do. And what Jesus was ultimately hoping to point them to eventually was the reality that he was personally willing to be the difference maker in their reality because his heart was not a hot mess. He did not have this natural mess from his conception and birth through the moment in life that he spoke these words, just the opposite. He chose to come here to be the one who offered a life of obedience as a sacrifice to God. So from the moment of his conception, he was already obeying. He was already keeping his heart pure as they believed theirs were, only he exposed them to not be. If you think of the sacrifice of Jesus as his offering, his payment for your sins only on the cross, that that's something that only begins as he's arrested and he's abused and he's suffering and he's abandoned by his Father and all the rest of that that rolls out for us from Maundy Thursday through sunset on Good Friday, you've missed the point. Every moment of his existence, from the moment the Holy Spirit spoke him through a miracle, the one infant conceived and born through a virgin mother so that he would not have our natural human flesh, our natural human predicament, the mess that is our hearts. His reality, he intentionally offered every moment of his life as a sacrifice for us in obedience to his Father, weaving act of obedience together with another after another after another for an entire lifetime. So he could be the answer. So he could be the one that offers us perfection, forgiveness, not through anything we do or earn, but simply trusting and understanding that that gift is ours. Not just a possibility, but a reality. Law and gospel and the word. At times it's a challenge to divide between them. But the reality is we need that balance. We need God telling us who we really are by nature every day to keep us understanding how often we continue to fail even after we are people of faith, even after we are trusting Jesus for eternal life and forgiveness. So that again and again we'll come to him and empty ourselves of all of our pretenses and all of our hypocrisy for the purpose of filling ourselves again with his promises. His love, his unconditional commitment, his words of truth that declare us holy and acceptable before God, not because of anything we've done, and not just in any given moment, but today and forever, welcome to live with him. That's right. You, the hot mess, me, the hot mess. The reality of our life on a daily basis, we can live with God forever. Not because we listen to the Pharisees, but because we listen to Jesus. We listen to Jesus tell us all that he's done and all he is yet willing to do to claim us back sin after sin, day after day. So while you and I cannot avoid, it's something out of our control. The next moment, life goes sideways enough that we find ourselves in that circumstance where somebody's nodding in understanding of all that we've become. Maybe they won't say the words, even though we deserve them in the moment. While it may be frustrating, while it may even be humiliating, when challenged by those moments of reality of our sin and our brokenness, that's a moment to trust our God's forgiveness, his promises, and respond with joy that he saves us from ourselves in those moments and forever. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.